You know, I want to encourage you. There are so many people out there that have been, I guess you might want to say, offended by the church. Everyone here has probably been offended by the church in some way or another. So I repent for the church for offending. But in that, you know, offense is brought to people because they're still alive. Because a dead man never gets offended. So on this, I want to share with you that because we are in the park, it is an open door for many people that have been offended by the church because most of the time it's the building they still remember. So this is a place without the building. So I want to encourage you, bring somebody. Bring somebody next week. Bring someone that needs to know the truth. Could be a neighbor, could be a fellow worker. Go out of your way and pick them up. Make a way to bring somebody. Because that's all that has to happen is they need one word from God, one touch from God, and they change. That's all it took for me and you to change. But in this maintaining of change, we must maintain the presence of God. Let's go out and be a witness, and let's go out and bring people into God's presence. To God be the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Slap your neighbor and tell them this is your day to get revelation. Praise God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrew. How many of y'all Hebrewed this morning? Hebrews. Hebrews, Mokatonics. I don't care what kind of, as long as it ain't, you know, Elkatonic. Hebrews chapter 10. Very, very powerful. Lord, we ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to catch the message and the anointing, that it may change our life, grant us fresh vision, grant us revelation, and access to see the things of the third dimension, in Jesus' name. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, for the law, now, this law is pertaining to the Old Testament law. And the understanding that it's not just the Ten Commandments. These are rituals and ordinances, ways of sacrifice, all kinds of things. There was like 165 of them or something. Pretty outrageous, but anyways. It says, for the law having a shadow of the good things to what? Come. And not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. In other words, even the sacrifices that they were doing with the laws and the rituals of and the sacrifices, daily sacrifices that they were making unto the Lord could never really bring perfection. In verse 2, let's read it. For then would they have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, everyone say worshipers. Once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he, who's he? Jesus, known as the what? The Christ, came into the what? World, he said. Now, before he came into the world, it says that he was God, he was with God, and he was the Word, right? And it says now that he came into the world, and they were all waiting for the Christ to come in the world. In the word Christ, it means anointed one and also Messiah. So its meaning is, in the anointing, the presence, power, and truth. So the eternal presence, power, and truth would come into the world. And through the anointing, we would be saved. Does everybody got it? Because you're going to see what the anointing did. Now, verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, what? Sacrifice and offering you did not what? Desire. So he didn't desire anymore the ordinances of sacrifices and offerings, did he? But a what? a body. A body you have prepared for me. So there was a body prepared for the Christ. That body was named Jesus. Because anything associated with the body in this realm has got a name. Is everybody with me? So a body was prepared. His name was Jesus. That the eternal presence and power and truth can dwell in to walk in this realm. Is everybody with me? He said in verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will. Again, a body was prepared so that the eternal blood could be manifested. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the what? Law. What law was that? The law of the Old Testament. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may what? Establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. In other words, because the blood that was manifested by the body, now you and I have, as we repent, been cleansed with the blood by speaking, by repentance. So when you repent, you can't think repentance away. You must confess it. Again, I want to share this. You cannot think repentance away. It must come out of your mouth. Forgive me. And then it is washed by the blood of the Lamb. And what happens is the washing of the blood of the Lamb allows the Spirit to have access to you. In verse 11, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. He's talking about Old Testament. But this man, Jesus the Christ, the body that was prepared for him, the eternal presence, power, and truth that inhabited this body, came into the natural realm. Is everybody with me? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies had made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Are you being sanctified? Amen. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my what? My laws into their hearts and into their minds, and I will write them. Now, what law is this? This is, okay, now listen. This is no longer the law of the Old Testament. This is called the law of Christ. Come on, let's go a little further. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember what? No more. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, a new and what? So this new and living way is going to come by new laws. Do you understand this? Which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest forever over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from any evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession. The what? The what? Is that a thought or a spoken word? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Wavering. Without what? I say that one more time. Without what? No wavering of your confession. Yes. For he who promised is what? Faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not for what? Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the what? The day approaching. The law of the old covenant, which is the first covenant, had to be fulfilled by paying the price that the eternal presence and power and truth, the anointed one and his anointing, would enter the natural realm in a body that was prepared for him to manufacture the blood to establish a new covenant, a new order, and new law. Is everybody with me? A new covenant. When there's a new covenant, there's a new order. In this, there is a new covenant, a new order, and a new law. But the first had to be cleansed away. In other words, each person had to be cleansed by the blood of Christ to establish the second covenant, a new one. So each person, again, the first had to be removed, but first there had to be cleansing. So in this cleansing, it made way for each person to be cleansed of sin, to have fellowship with the eternal things now. Because in the Old Testament, not everybody had access to the eternal things, did they? In fact, even when the prophets, the Spirit came upon them, they prophesied. Most of the time, they didn't even know what they were saying. Sometimes they did, but most of the time, they didn't. They did not have access to all the eternal things freely unless God chose them to. Now, every man has access to the eternal things by the price that Jesus made for me and you by manufacturing his blood, establishing a new covenant, a new order, and a new law. And it's called the law of Christ. The new covenant is the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit is associated with the anointing. And with this, you have inherited power, authority, and dominion. You've inherited what? Power, authority, and dominion. How many times do you use it? That's, hello. And not only have you inherited power, authority, and dominion, but you inherited access to the eternal things because you are blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places. But one of the things the enemy doesn't want you to do is to know it. He doesn't want you to activate it. He doesn't want you to access it. Remember, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the new covenant is the ministry of the Spirit, which is the ministry of the anointing. The new order, it is an order of divine order. It's a new order of revelation for me and you. It comes with submission. It comes with training. It comes with submission. In other words, this new order that God has established is associated with submission, training, and respect, or what we call the fear of the Lord. Why? Because it's now associated with a chain of command that God has established. It is a new order. Because there is a military now that has been established in the body of Christ in the eternal kingdom. God did it in the Old Testament with physical force. We do it in a new covenant with the power or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's different. It's a new order. And the new law is called the law of Christ. It is associated with anointing. So in other words, we must maintain connection in the anointing. That's why he said, forsake not to what? Assemble. Forsake not to what? Assemble. The new law is called the law of Christ, associated with anointing to maintain connection. By maintaining connection, you maintain protection. By maintaining connection, you have victory. By maintaining connection, you have favor. The new law is called the law of Christ. It's associated with the new covenant, the new order, and the new law. And it is fulfilled, are you ready, by dying daily. By dying daily and assembling in worship. That's why he said, forsake not to what? Assemble. I'm telling you, this Hebrews chapter 10 explains everything. If you really just study the whole chapter of Hebrews 10, it's everything about Christ. It's everything that God wanted to establish. Everything. Because he even goes on to say, those who willfully sin, they break covenant with God and there's no more covering. So he tells us about walking. I'm telling you, you study Hebrew 10, it will change your life. Go to 2 John 7. Remember, we talked about the Antichrist spirits that are coming against the anointing. They promote religion. They promote disorder. They bring deception. They promote the doctrine of demons. 2 John, verse 7. 2 John, verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. It says, for what? For what? Many what? Deceivers. Anybody here ever been deceived? Hello. Well, what were you deceived by? A deceiving spirit. Amen? Even though somebody deceived you, a spirit still manipulated that person to deceive you. Hello. It's a spirit of Antichrist. Glory. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus. Now, I want you to understand, in these translations, the word Christ is a Greek word. And it represents anointed one, representing also the Messiah, who is the Savior. But in the original scriptures, on how these are written, when you would say, see Jesus, it would say Jesus the Christ. It would say Jesus the anointed one. So in this it says, many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that Jesus is the Christ as coming into the flesh. This is a deceiver and a what? Antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Why? He's warning us of the spirits of what? Antichrist. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of what? Of Christ. Does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. He was not talking about the doctrine of Jesus. Because it wasn't the doctrine of Jesus. Jesus said himself, I don't come in my doctrine. He was given the doctrine of Christ, wasn't he? Everything that he was speaking about was from the Father, about the anointing, because the new covenant was associated with the eternal presence, power, and truth. And he was saying, without the anointing, you cannot overcome. Hello? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Again, I want to share with you, many people know Jesus as the Son of God, but not many know him truly as the Christ. Even when Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Remember that? Who do you say? What did Peter say? He didn't say, you are Jesus, the Son of God. He said, you are the Christ. In other words, you are the eternal presence, power, and truth that came into the natural realm. You inhabited a body that was prepared for you called Jesus. Because the name had to be associated, the blood had to be associated with a name. I want to say that again. The blood had to be associated with a name. Come on, are you with me? And he says, listen, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Listen, I get many people to come to my door and tell me that Jesus is the Son of God. Hi. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Christ? Huh? Come on, let's pray. They're gone. See, many people know Jesus as the Son of God, but not many know him as the Christ. That's why the Word tells us we're to no longer acknowledge Jesus associated with the flesh. He is the Christ. He is the eternal presence and power of God Almighty. That came into the natural realm. And we must begin to acknowledge that, recognize that, because when you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the same Christ, you have the same Spirit that was in Jesus. Hello. So when somebody comes to your house and says, hey, I'm a witness. I'm a witness of this, I'm a witness of that. You know, tell them what witness you have. You have the witness of the power of Jesus the Christ, because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. He who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Why? Because what's going to happen is many deceivers are going to try to come to you and convince you to come out of the anointing. They're going to come with religious doctrine, rules, regulations, and all kinds of stuff associated with rituals instead of relationship. They'll proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. They will call him the Christ, but they don't even understand what Christ represents. They don't understand that it's about the anointing. Because doctrines, traditions have been brought down the family line. Until somebody gets visitation, revelation, impartation, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then the scales come off and the reality that God is real. He's real and his presence is real. His healing is real. His love is real. His truth is real. Eternity is real. Hell is real. And the battle is real. Doctrines. Again, the doctrine, the new covenant, the new order, the new law of Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One. Why? Because the anointing will save you by conviction. Are you with me? By what? Conviction. The Bible says the Holy Spirit does what? Convicts. So when you get convicted, what do? You repent. That's why the anointing is going to save you. So everybody got it. That's why the anointing, the anointed one, the Christ, is called the Messiah. Is everybody okay? I know we're going into a deeper arena here. But this has really got to come to reality to us, because we're talking about eternal things now, not temporary. We're not talking about a Jesus known as just the Son of God. We're talking about the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, who created me and you and all things, who got into a body that was prepared for him, manufactured his own blood associated with a name called Jesus, who walked among man, who allowed himself to be killed, but he couldn't die anyways. Only the flesh could die. He couldn't die. He said, go ahead, try it. I created you. You think you're going to kill me? What did he say? I only lay down my life because I allow it to be done. But you think you're going to kill me, but I'm not. I'm just accessing hell. And the only way I can access hell is to take on man's sin, which allows me to go to hell. Come on! So he accessed hell by taking man's sin on. Then he went to hell and kicked butt because he's the Christ. So he brought the eternal presence, power, and truth into hell. Then he went to go ministers to those who were in hell. Anyone willing to follow him, he'd let him out today. Today's the day of salvation. He let him out. You know, many chose to stay because they were so deceived by Satan. Some people still think that they're going to be hot shot in hell. They're going to be hot shot, all right. So the anointing will save you by conviction to repent, obedience to follow, and power to overcome. I'm going to say that again. The anointing will save you by conviction to repent. Repent. Obedience to follow, and power to overcome. It's called the law of Christ, to die daily. Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. You know, anybody here at Friday night service? Did you get touched? Did you get refreshed? Did you get renewed? You know why? You assembled. And you assembled in the anointing to worship, which maintains connection to the anointing. That's why when people... You know, people just don't get it. I have to have that worship. I have to have it. I can't survive without the anointing. Because you'll know the word, but you won't be able to obey it. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Listen, no matter what you're struggling with, you can quote the scriptures till you're dead. But those scriptures are to go in, bring you into the anointing. Are you listening? Or you'll go right back to what you used to do. That's why it is a law of Christ to deny yourself. That means you must die daily. That means you've got to come out of you, ignore you, deny you, and acknowledge Him by getting in God's presence. That's where we came from, and that's what we're fighting for. Why? Because that's where the connection is to the anointing. And by staying connected to the anointing, you won't become a granola, nutty and fruity. You won't touch the unclean things. I didn't say you'd be perfect. You're going to make a mistake, but get back very quickly. Doesn't mean you won't say something you wish you didn't. But it means that your desire is to be so close to the anointing, to the presence of God, that no matter what's going on in your life, that's priority. That's priority. When somebody tries to offer you money to do something else, that's priority. Everything that you do now, because you're maintaining the anointing, is associated with the presence of God, the love of God, the truth of God, and the relationship with Him. You don't want anything to break that connection in the relationship. That's why so many people are accustomed and they're okay with long-distance relationship. And they wonder why things happen in their life. They wonder why. You know when you struggle? You know what's been disconnected? The anointing. You struggle because you're losing control. Oh, God! I lost control. Why? Because you just lost the anointing. You've lost connection. So people struggle because they want control back. Because fear comes in and survival mode hits. And when it doesn't happen, they run to the world. They run according to traditional arenas. They run to the world to get a drink. They run to the world to get high. They run to the lust. They run to this. They run to that. And look for fulfillment when fulfillment was right in front of them. Get on your knees, pray in the Spirit, put on the music, worship the Lord. Don't go to the phone, hit the throne. Here? It's confirmation. Galatians 6. Is everybody okay? Listen, we must maintain the anointing to overcome. That means we must fulfill the law of Christ by denying ourselves daily. That's the law. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow Him. Galatians 6, verse 1. Let's read it. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be what? Tempted. Look at verse 2. Bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Denying yourself. Dying daily. But how are you going to restore someone? You're going to Gucci goo them? Oh, it's okay. You can stay in sin. God will forgive you. No, you kick him in the butt and you throw him in the presence of God. Are you listening? You need to get back in the presence. All your crying, your whining, and all grumbling and complaining is going to do no good. All your justification, your reasoning, and your woes as measies is going to do no good. All your tears are going to fall to the ground. God is waiting for you to obey and get in His presence to get reconnected. Getting reconnected under the anointing. That's what He desires. Because He desires your presence. Come on, are you with me? Verse 3. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Hallelujah. You know, there isn't anything greater. What happens when you come out of the presence of God? You're joyful. Now listen, you may have opened yourself to so much garbage that you're going to have to go through the car wash quite a few times. You know, you've been under the mudslinger. And there's been a lot of mud slung on you, and you're slinging mud now. Hello. So you're going to have to go through. You're going to have to keep. Listen, no matter what you're struggling with, if you just keep coming to the anointing services and worshiping God, even when we're out here, if you're worshiping with all you have, you'll get healed. You'll get free. But as soon as you grumble, you open yourself up. Isn't that what kept them in the wilderness, grumbling and complaining for 40 stinking years? I mean, you know, I mean, the promised land was, you know, a couple hours away. Took them 40 years to get there. And only two of them made it because of the grumbling and complaining. You know why? They did not seek God with all their heart. They didn't go after him. They didn't grope for him. They played religion. That's all they were looking for was what God could give to them. Food, water, shoes. That's all they were looking for. And they grumbled and complained the whole time they were out there because the only thing they wanted is what they had. They weren't willing to give it up. Listen, you can't maintain the anointing if you're still trying to recover what you lost. Ooh. Praise God. They lost connection with the anointing. They justified themselves by knowledge and self-works, not presence, power, and truth. Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17. In verse 17, is everybody there? Let's read it together. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Come on, now grab hold of this. What did he come to do? I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. So he had to fulfill the old law so he could establish his new one. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will no, by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, which is the Old Testament, and teaches men to do so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the what? The scribes. So there's no way that you and I could have a better righteousness than the scribes unless the anointing is there, because it's his righteousness. So if you're abiding in the anointing, his righteousness is being manifested. And Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to read 21 more time. Come on, read it with me. I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. What were the Pharisees? They were religious, right? You will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That's powerful. So what's going to save you? The anointing. Why? Because the anointing is the one that became flesh. Amen? The anointed one became flesh. He set a body for himself. He came into the natural realm from the third dimensional realm, from eternity. He allowed his blood to be acknowledged with his name. He died. He rose. Sits at the right hand of the Father, placed me and you and every human on this planet that desires to know him and follow him, cleanse him through the blood that he can have relationship in the spirit. The blood always goes before the spirit with his anointing to overcome. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Go to Galatians 5. So he came, fulfilled the law by becoming the sacrifice with the eternal blood and fulfilled the law of Christ with obedience unto death. So he came as the what? The example. Are you with me? Wait a minute. Before we go there, I want to go to Luke 24. Luke 24. He came to fulfill the law, didn't he? Luke 24. Thank you, my Lord. Again, grab hold of this. He came to fulfill the old law by becoming the sacrifice with the eternal blood and fulfill the law of Christ with obedience unto death. See, he could not give you a law he could not fulfill. He does not give you something he has not already fulfilled. In other words, he wouldn't tell you to do something he's not already done. And Luke 24 and verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the what? The Christ. What's the Christ? The anointed one. To have suffered these things and to enter into his what? Glory. I want you to understand that he represents this as Christ. He calls it as Christ. Why? Because everything was associated with the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty coming into the natural realm. Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? Good. Now go to Galatians 5. So who suffered? Christ suffered. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want you to grab this. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, for the first time, looked to himself. Why? Because the anointing left him. Why? Because the anointing does not dwell with sin. Jesus took all the sin on from the earth and became the serpent. Again, he became the serpent on the cross so he could, after he paid the price, after he died, the anointing was back. Do you understand this? Once his last breath was taken, there was the anointing to bring life again. Remember, a body was prepared to manufacture eternal blood. That blood is connected to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus the Christ. The body was whipped so that you and I could be healed because it was releasing blood. That blood that dripped from the beatings was so that you and I would have victory over sickness. So in this again, when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's because the anointing lifted and there was Jesus, the flesh, who took on all sin. The moment Jesus gave up his last breath, he died, the anointing came. Why? Because he went to hell. He could not go to hell in the flesh, could he? But sin allowed him in hell. And now the anointing just entered a place because he abided by his own creational laws. He entered into hell and he kicked butt and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan. And he said, you'll no longer have this, and anyone that's associated with me and following me will never die. Come on, are you with me? And they will overcome the gates of hell by the anointing. Because I am the Christ. And I will release my spirit into every single one that will be known as a human, but will now be known as the temple of the living God, the anointed one. And as they cooperate with me, I will speak through them. I will touch through them. I will establish their steps. I will establish their thoughts. As long as they stay connected in the anointing. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free. What made us free? The anointing. And do not be entangled with yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Why? Circumcision was associated with the old law, the Old Testament. In other words, you're doing things in your own works now. You're trying to justify yourself. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the law. You have become estranged from Christ. You've become estranged from the anointing. Why? Because you attempt to be justified by the law or your works, and you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So again, they lost connection with the anointing by justifying by their knowledge and self-works. Are you listening? And they're no longer walking in the power, truth, and presence, are they? Go to Mark 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark 8 and verse 34. And when he, Jesus, had called the people to himself with his disciples, also he said to them, again, I want you to know he called the people to himself with the disciples. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Forever desire, this is the law of Christ. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Denying self, that means to die to self daily. To pick up your cross is to obey his voice and commands. And to follow is to do it in the character of Christ when you do things. Go to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. Again, to deny yourself is to die daily. In other words, die to your agenda. Pick up your cross is to obey the voice and commands of God, and to follow him is to do it in the character of Christ. 1 Kings 19. And verse 19. Now Elijah was told to go anoint Elisha. In verse 19. Let's read it together. So Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. In other words, you've been anointed. The mantle represents the anointing. So Elisha was called under the anointing. Now, Elisha also had oxen and plows, which represented that time where he was a wealthy man. So this is something that he did. Verse 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. Please let me kiss mommy and daddy and pack up my teddy bear. And so Elijah turns around and says, what have I done to you? Go back for what? Don't you realize that God has just called you? See, to maintain the anointing, you must die. The anointing brings death. Jesus was anointed with the oil. The woman came with the oil, the alabaster box. He rebuked the disciples because they complained that the box was expensive and the oil. He said, "Don't you get it? She brought this for my burial." Hello? See, Elijah got rebuked by Elijah. What do you mean go back and kiss your mother and father? Don't you get it? Here's the anointing, the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty. You're going to go back and kiss mommy and daddy? Foolish flesh creature. You know, the word says that a man or woman shall leave his mother and father and be joined to their spouse. You know, when you come to Christ, you leave mommy and daddy. And you become one with him. Doesn't mean that they're not your parents because you honor and respect them. But you're no longer of this realm. You're of this realm. In verse 21, look what Elisha does. Listen, how bad do you want? How bad do you want the praise? How bad do you want the presence of God? So Elisha turned back from Elijah and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. I guess he got revelation. And he boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So Elisha said, "Listen, there's only one way out of this. Not only am I going to show you God, but I'm going to make sure my past is killed." And he destroyed everything that he was dependent on for provision. Are you listening? He destroyed everything of not only provision, but what he enjoyed. These are things where the word says, do not entangle yourself in the affairs of the world. So he was willing to give up everything to have the anointing. Everything. So we must kill our past and die daily, amen, to follow the anointing, to maintain connection to the anointing. Listen, this is between you and God, not you, your spouse, not you, your friends, not you, your pastor, not you and anybody else. This is you and God. So if you and your friend, if your friend doesn't want to get in God's presence, let him go. You go. If your spouse doesn't want to, you go. It's between you and God, not you and them. They want to be foolish? Let them be foolish. You be wise. You must maintain the anointing. And you stay connected in the presence of God by fulfilling the law of Christ. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow daily. Every day you must deny to your agenda. Hello. Now you might have certain plans, but you must be willing to give them up when God says do this, because you're not your own anymore. You no longer have a life. You gave it to Christ. That's why you got a new one. And you want to maintain this new life. You maintain it in the anointing. Ephesians 4. We're almost done. Hallelujah. You want to come to, you want to come into the nerve and the anointing, and your kids don't? Tie them up. Throw them over your shoulder and put them on the altar. And dance around them. Hallelujah. I can guarantee you something's going to happen. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. What's it say? Read it together. But you have not so learned what? Christ, meaning you haven't understood, you haven't learned what the anointing's about yet. Why? Because what does the anointing do? He said, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, now look it, as the truth is in Jesus, in other words, as the anointing is in Jesus, if you listen to the anointing that was in Jesus, that you do what? You put off what? Concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God and true righteousness and what? Holiness. So the anointing puts off the old man, the old carnal, and puts on the eternal man of power, with power, truth, and his presence. But you must stay connected. You know, I can't express this enough. And I'm not trying to promote or demote any organizations, churches, or congregations, or whatever. But I'm telling you now that it is essential that in the time that we are in, this is not time to play religion. This is the time to stay anointed. This is not time to build your empire. It's time to expand the kingdom. Because time is running out. You can see it all around. Quit trying to build your house and let God build it. Let him establish it. Let him perfect it. Let him settle it in every area. This is time. He said, and those who know me, and those who are walking in my anointing, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll speak new tongues and so forth. Why? Because of the anointing. But you must be connected to a reservoir. That's called fellowship. There's a reservoir in fellowship. That's why there's a sense when we gather together. You may be struggling with something, but all of a sudden you gather together with believers and you begin to worship the Lord and something begins to happen to you. That's why he says, forsake not to assemble. What you were struggling with before is no longer a struggle. In fact, you got revelation. I needed to get in God's presence. It's maintaining the anointing now. It's going after him with all of your heart. It's coming out of religiosity. Listen, everybody here has a ministry, but it must be backed by the anointing. Your ministry is at your work, your job, wherever you are, your home, but you must come into the reservoir to get filled. Where did Jesus meet the woman? At the what? Well. And what was he trying to tell her? Get a drink from the well. Those are reservoirs. They're not on the street corners. They're in the fellowships. In the fellowships where God is exalted in praise. Because it's praise that brings the presence. It's praise that moves the powers of darkness away. It's praise that ambushes your enemies. It's praise that exposes you and convicts you because it brings his presence. It's praise that heals you. It's praise that empowers you because it brings the anointing in his presence. Or else you go right back to religion. You go back to, I'm not using it anymore. I don't drink it. I don't do pornography anymore. I don't do this. I. Now you begin to justify yourself instead of allowing him to justify you in his presence. And you've become religious and deny the power. And you're not backed by the anointing anymore. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Philippians 3. No excuse. Philippians 3 and verse something. verse 7. Oh, yeah. Philippians 3, verse 7. Let's read it together. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for what? Christ. The eternal presence, power, and truth, the anointing. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ the what? The anointing. Woo-hoo. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness is which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Gaining Christ, willing to count everything as loss. You know, once you get cleaned up, smelled up, filled up, powered up, the first thing the devil wants to tell you is, it's time to catch up. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get you to go to your past by causing you to try to do all the things that you didn't do when you were messed up, that you wanted to do. That brings you to your past. He's saying, count it all rubbish. Get a new life. Let me establish your new life through the anointing. 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Let's read it together. Is everybody there? For as the body is one and has many members. Are you a member? But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized in one body, whether Jew or Greek or whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one, but what? Many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were one eye or an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Come on, everybody, read this with me. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. In other words, he did not say that we are the body of Jesus. We are not the body of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. Does everybody got it? The body of Jesus was crucified and remains crucified. Why? So that the blood is constantly being activated for me and you. You and I are not the body of Jesus. We are now the body of Christ. We must look at this as the body of Christ, the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty. We are not the body of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. Does everybody got it? Praise God. Philippians 4. Is everybody there? Philippians 4. Verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Come on, read it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, we're saying, no, I rejoice in the sufferings of Christ. Why? Because when I'm weak, I'm strong. Because it helps me to deny myself. It helps me to die daily so that the anointing preserves me and carries me. It's no longer I that carry me. It's the anointing that carries me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Oh, glory. And I want to close at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Is everybody okay? Do you get this? Did you learn something? Are you going to use it? Put it into action. Practice it. 1 Corinthians 15, 31. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Is everybody okay? So, in other words, we must die. Every day we are to die. Die to what? Yourself, your agenda, your understanding. Lean not on your own understanding, your carnality. You know how many times you go, God, why? You know what he says? Die. See, walking with God is not on a need-to-know basis. You will not have a walk with the Lord on a need-to-know basis. You have a walk with the Lord on a trust basis. And that trust comes by walking in the anointing. Because you know that he's got it all in control. You're willing to relinquish yourself from all control. But take dominion, authority, and power according to what he puts before you. Relinquishing yourself is relinquishing control so that the power and the anointing can flow. It is the law of Christ. It is the law of Christ. And let me share something with you, very important. It is the level of saturation. Grab this, write it down. For each thing, each purpose, each project, each plan, each command, and each request of God that goes to you, there is a level of saturation that must be required before you can fulfill it. There is a level of saturation of his presence, of the anointing, that He prepares for you to fulfill what he's asking you to do. If you go out and try to fulfill what he's asked you to do without the level of saturation that is required, you will not do it. A level of saturation. That's what the law of Christ is for, is to bring you to the level of saturation. Got it? Grab it. Grab hold of it. Eat it. Drink it. And let it become one with you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.